Hello, everybody. I'm back. I'm bad. I'm mean and mad. Forgive me, listeners. I have sinned. I have been a bit lax in podcast production. There are reasons. None of them really justifiable, but there are reasons. I've been very busy with my new job. That's one. Had builders in. We are having a lot of building work done. So we are currently having our roof replaced. Well, I'd say we're having our roof replaced. It's absolutely pissing down with rain in London, in Essex, in the southeast, shall we just say, at the moment. We seem to have had our 1 week of British summertime and now the rain is back. I don't currently have any tiles on my roof, so I'm hoping that's not going to be a problem. So I don't know, I haven't been up to the house. I'm down the man cave. This is Macy's man cave. If you're a new listener, welcome. Welcome to my man cave, where I talk about everything and nothing. And Muse. Mason's Man Cave Musings. Macy's Man Cave Musings is the name of the podcast. So welcome. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much. I hope you are all well and taking care of yourselves. I apologise for any background noise that there might be today because, as I said, I've got builders in. It's chucking it down with rain. And, it's British summertime has ended quite clearly. We had a 1 week of absolute glorious sunshine and 30 degrees. Is it 30 degrees? I was thinking about this the other day. When did we change? So the UK, I'm sure when I was growing up, the UK used to be all, it's 72 or it's 86 or, you know, if there was Wimbledon, which is on at the moment, they probably stopped play at the moment. But, you know, centre court was 100 degrees today. You know, you could fry an egg on Andrea Guess's head or something. But, we seem to have changed, haven't we? We've changed. We now use the, so that's, it's 100 degrees Fahrenheit, isn't it? And we now talk about 22 degrees centigrade or whatever it is. I get confused with all the different measurements and it changes whichever country you go in. So the Yanks use cups. I mean, what the fuck is a cup to measure when you're doing baking? For fuck's sake, cups. Only country. The world champions of using cups for cooking. And then they use, is it fluid ounces for drinks and miles? So that's imperial, isn't it? That's all imperial measurements. And we was imperial as the great British Empire. I was imperial, but we've kept hold of it, haven't we? So you kind of, what is it? Let's think. So when we're on the road, we talk about miles. Everything's in miles. So 100 miles to London or 72 miles to Derby or 2 miles to the services. When we measure stuff internally in our houses these days, we're kind of more into meters and millimeters, aren't we? We tend to use more that measurement. Diet Coke comes in 2 litre bottles. So, you know, when we're buying pop, it's litres. And when we're buying wine, it's millilitres. But then when we buy milk, I still think we talk about pints. I'm pretty sure people say, get me a pint. And actually, when you're in the pub, it's still pints. So we're no better than the Yanks, really. I mean, how confusing is all that? And then when we're cooking, what do we measure? Is it ounces? Yeah, I think most cookery things is still in ounces, isn't it? Certainly not cups. Not cups. We had to buy, because we go to America so much, we buy, you know, got lots of American recipes and different things that our friends share with us, and it's all in cups, so we had to actually go out and buy some some actually measuring cups. But it doesn't feel, when you're measuring in cups, it doesn't feel very precise, you know? Not as precise as ounces and millilitres when you've got your scales, I would say. I would contest. I would die on that hill. But as I said, I've been really, really busy. Been travelling a lot. So I am travelling a lot more. Driving regularly to Northampton, where our office is in lovely Northampton. I think I mentioned before that the city of Northampton, it's okay on the outskirts, but the city centre has seen better days without question. They've got that little disease, the little, is it a disease? Well, disease. They've got that little common trait that you get these days in most, in a lot of UK city centre, town centres. You know, you've got basically about four or five shops. You've got your Greggs, you've got, and they kind of just go on repeat. So Greggs, Costa, a bookies, like a convenience store, a cash converters, or a what would you call them? Pawn shop, a vape shop, and then the cycle starts again. Costas, Greggs, vape shop. Then maybe you're kind of Eastern European market selling, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for Eastern European markets and the wares that they sell. Often find, you know, fruit and veg a lot cheaper than you will do in a supermarket. Decent mayonnaise and pickles. But yeah, so then you got that, it's kind of like a repeat. Vape shop, bookies, Costa, charity shop, bookies, vape shop, Greggs. And it just goes on repeat. And the streets all stink of piss. And then there's the obligatory Debenhams that's closed down, that used to be the cornerstone, or the House of Fraser, that was the cornerstone of every city and town centre, where you'd go every Saturday to do your shopping. BHS, British Home Stores, so all these empty buildings. I was going to say, at least you can rely on JD Weatherspoon's, the national pub, the national pub chain that we've got in the UK, to buy up some of these things and turn them into pubs. But I read the other day that even that they've stopped kind of expanding and are actually going to close 20 or so pubs over the next couple of months, including one that I used to go to very frequently called the Miller's Well in East Ham. So even Weatherspoon's, where you can get it's quite strange. It's quite hard to, I've tried to describe this before, a Weatherspoon's pub to my American friends, but they are, it's kind of like quite a juxtaposition, isn't it? Because most of the Weatherspoon's that you can frequent in the UK are quite amazing buildings. You know, normally, you know, things like ex-banks or cinemas, train stations, the whole range. Normally vast, vast properties. Takes you about 20 minutes to get to the toilets, and they normally have got quite clean, good toilets, very cheap food, and very cheap beer. A very vocal owner, Sir Tim. I can't remember what his second name is now. But they've done a marvellous job, actually. A really, really good job of actually maintaining and preserving, historic listed buildings across the country and turning them into these big pubs. But I think they open kind of quite early, about 7 o'clock, and you tend to get people drinking pints very early on. There's definitely a very diverse range of clientele that frequent said pubs due to the fact that the booze is so cheap. But yeah, as I said, been driving quite a lot and going to Northampton. I digress. Talking about Weatherspoons. So I've been going to Northampton a lot, and that presents challenges because It's 75 miles away, but you have to use the M20. Well, I have to use three roads, notoriously bad roads. The A13 in London, East London, that goes from East London, goes all the way from Southend into Central London. So I have to use the A13, the M25, and the M1. Three, the holy trinity of fucking shit roads. And yes, they, the axis of evil for any motorists. And I can wake up sometimes when I'm due to go Gorp North to Northampton and see that my journey time is, you know, an hour and 35 minutes, I think, is the kind of quickest I've ever seen it. And I'll get on the road and traffic will come to a stop because there's been an accident, and then it's gone to 2 hours, 50 minutes. And so I have spent a huge, huge amount of my time over the past month or so stuck in traffic. And not getting road rage. I wouldn't say I don't really get road rage. It's more, what is it? I just get frustrated with other road users. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because most other road users are fucking wankers. They're terrible drivers. They're shit at what they do. Yeah, really bad. I can't. Oh. Oh, hang on. Something stopped. Oh, for Christ's sake. Hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm going to have to pause a minute. I'm going to have to pause. How do I pause? No. Wait a minute. No, I'm going to carry on. Bloody garage band again. Stop bloody fucking. Oh, I use this software. It does my head in. It's just stopped for no reason, but. I've got a backup. Don't worry, people. Don't worry, people. So I was stuck in traffic the other day, I was trying to work out what's the propensity, because we do this thing at work, which is like, you know, when we get debts that people owe, we have a thing called a propensity to pay model. So you analyze the debt and the debt amount, and where is the debt, you know, where does the debtor live? Sorry, if you don't know, I'm in the debt collection business. You know, where does the debtor live? What's, you know, have they got a mortgage? Have they got active credit? Are they on the electoral roll? Do they live in a flat? How old is the vehicle that they own? All these different things, and you add all those factors in together, and it'll give you an indication of what's the likelihood, how much effort should you put into trying to chase this debt, what's the likelihood of you collecting the debt, and then you can apply a collection strategy. And I'm boring you to death already, aren't I? Why am I saying this? Oh, because I was thinking about this propensity model, and then I'm thinking, if there was a propensity model for, and I'm sure there is actually, is there a propensity model, is what kind of driver is likely to cause an accident and cause a snarl up on the A13, M25 or M1. And there must be common characteristics. I bet there's some, I must have a look and see if there's some, have a look and see if there's some analysis that's been done. I've got friends in National Highways, they must keep a record of this kind of stuff. But I'm convinced, I know what it'll be. A bloke on a motorway, more so than women, I think there'll be a higher propensity to cause a crash. B, and I was tossing this up between BMW and an Audi driver. I'm probably going to go for BMW over Audi, but BMW, Audi, there'll be certain types of vehicles that are involved more in crashes and smashes on the motorway that cause inconvenience to other people. So a bloke, under the age of 30, I think, is probably there more likely, because I think the older you are, the more you kind of learn, well, actually, you know, it doesn't actually get you that far weaving in and out of traffic, and actually does, you know, do run the risk of losing your life. I'm not including motorcycles in any of this, by the way. I'm just talking about wankers in cars. So when I am moving, I do encounter a wanker. I do tend to, because I've drive my big 4x4 truck, I do tend to poke the bear, I suppose, a little bit, just by being annoying, just because I know they're in a rush. You know when someone's in a rush behind you, don't you? They're tailgating you. They'll do that little thing where they kind of move to the side so you can see that they're not following you rear wheel light with the headlights in. You're not kind of in a straight line. They've just kind of moved out a little bit, or they'll move into the middle lane and start accelerating, thinking that they're going to overtake you. When I see that kind of stuff, and then some of them may even flash their headlights at you. And there's only one vehicle that I'll move out of the way that's flashing their headlights at me, my friends, and that is an emergency service vehicle. That's it. There is no other thing. You can flash your headlights at me all you like, because I tell you what, it will strengthen my resolve. And I just stay calm, drive my own pace, wait until it's safe to pull over, and then or move lanes. And when I do so, I will do it in the slowest way possible. Really, as slow as I possibly can. I always follow in the highway code and all the rules of the world, all the rules of the road. But yeah, everyone's in such a rush. Everyone's in such a hurry. And there's consequences, isn't there? People die in tragic accidents. And then I was thinking, well, actually, trucks must have a big part to play in this as well, because HGV lorries, and again, the Holy Trinity, A13, it's just full of them. They come from the ports and the docks. And one of them passed me the other day. I was no kidding you, I was doing 70, and he just kind of whizzed past me. I'm thinking, well, there's no restriction on, I think it was a Polish number plate as well. There's certainly no restriction on your engine, is there? Sometimes they have their speed restricted, don't they? They have certain things attached to their vehicles that stops them acting like complete wankers. So I think they could be. I definitely think they're part of the problem. So I'm gonna do some. I'll see if I can do some research, and I'll come back to you on if there's actually any known facts. I definitely think there's a thing with the young thing, isn't there? There's definitely a youth thing after a certain time. So if you're, because I remember when Dan passed his driving test and he had one of those insurance black boxes. So my son had this black box in his car, and every month it was like there was a certain amount that he had to pay every month for his insurance, but if he behaved in a certain way, it'd be less. I don't think it'd be any more, but he'd get discounted amounts. So if he didn't take his vehicle out after 10 o'clock at night, if he didn't use his, if he didn't speed, because they could see if he was speeding and things like that. So he would get, he would get a discount on his premium. So they must have that. So there must be this data somewhere, big data floating around that tells people. But I'm sure BMWs, I'm sure Audis are definitely. Is there, have I captured your ones? Is there a particular type of vehicle or typical type of driver, that I've missed? I'm sure there must be. Is there one that really fucking winds you up as much as the BMW Audi drivers wind me up? But as I said, I think if you just stay calm. I've been in road rage incidents in the past. I have to admit, none where I've got out of the car or someone's got out of the car and da da da. But definitely the old fucking whip and fingers up and all that kind of stuff. But never to the point where I've kind of felt that I need to get out of my car and smash someone's face in, which obviously happens. It just is really weird as well, certainly with the weather, that people just seem to have so little disregard for their own, not just their own lives, but other people's lives. Every now and again, I drove back recently and the rain was so bad, visibility was so bad. I was thinking, do you know what? I'm going to pull off, just go and have a cup of coffee, because everyone's driving like fucking lunatics. And just went into the service station and just motorway service station, had a cup of coffee, cost me about fucking £6. What is it with our service stations? Why are our motorway service stations so appallingly bad? They are. I mean, they've got better, I think, because you get well, again, that's the same as the town square, you know, city centre shopping. It's like the same things everywhere you go. Like, you know, it's like either a Burger King or McDonald's, a Waitrose or a Marks and Spencer's, a Costa or a Starbucks, and the obligatory fucking rip-off WH Smith's selling fucking Mars bars for fucking £3 when they used to be... I mean, I haven't bought a Mars bar for years, but I'm going to say that. I remember them being 50p. But, you know, the prices in our service station is just ridiculous. Don't even get me started on the price of the fucking petrol. I'd say it's about 20p a litre, easily, when you're on a motorway. And I don't recall that being the case. I'm sure it is, but when I've been travelling in America, you know, extensively, I don't recall when I've been on the highways or the freeways or whatever that those service stations have been such a rip-off. I'll be honest. I'm sure they are. But they're a much higher standard. My favourite, my American friends, are nice. A place called Wawa. You get them in Florida, New Jersey, on the East Coast. Are they amazing? They are absolutely brilliant. They've got everything in there. They've got the drinks. And it is priced quite reasonably. But the food they do is fresh. You can order all these different... It's like... what's the best way to describe it? It's like Subway on acid. And you don't have to speak... You know, you don't have to speak to anyone. You got a little kiosk. A little self-serve kiosk. And you choose what you want. You can have anything on your sandwich or on your bagel or whatever. It's delicious. They do delicious drinks. Coffee, whatever. It's just so, so good. There's got to be a market for like high quality, good food at a service station in the UK. There's got to be. Because the stuff we get served up is shite. And it's all the same. It fucking winds the fuck out of me. Even more so now I'm travelling. Now I'm travelling a lot. And of course, if you don't want to go by car, if you don't want to travel by car, then, and to be fair, we criticise it a lot, but the UK has, you know, quite a extensive transportation network, you know. We have got, when you compare it to countries like, certainly, the USA, you know, we have buses that run. They may not run on time, and they may be getting, the services may get cut, but we have buses, and we have trains, and subways, and some cities have trams. You know, European countries in the main have excellent transport infrastructure, but that's not to say they are not without their problems. And again, this week I went up to Newcastle on Monday, booked in advance. I think it was for the two of us, I think it was about £268 return to go to Newcastle on Monday, come back Tuesday, myself and my colleague. And to get to Newcastle on this train, we had to leave from King's Cross, which was bad enough as it was. I'll tell you why it was bad, because it's just, there's too many tourists. There's so many tourists in London at the moment. I mean, it's good, don't get me, I shouldn't mind, because like, I love seeing tourists. I love seeing people coming from abroad and enjoying London and enjoying England. And, you know, compared to where we were 3 years ago when the streets were empty, no one was travelling, you know, it's good. It's good for the economy. It's good for the country. But they get in the way. when you're at work, when you're trying to get to work, or you're trying to get from A to B, I'm sorry, tourists, you just get in a fucking way. And King's Cross was absolutely mobbed with people queuing for the left luggage. The queue was just ridiculous. And also queuing for that stupid, there's a stupid kind of Harry Potter photo opportunity at King's Cross where they've got a little sign up for platform 9 and, was it? I wasn't in Harry Potter. 9 and a half, 9 and 2/3 or whatever it is, platform 9 and 2/3 with this kind of half luggage trolley halfway in the wall. So you can take a photo of yourself looking like you're holding onto the trolley that's going into the wall, miraculously going into the wall. And yeah, that was just, and so you couldn't just couldn't walk through King's Cross Station. I thought, oh my God, this train's going to be a nightmare, isn't it? And sure enough, it was. It was going to Inverness. I want to say Inverness. It was definitely Scotland because it was 9 hours. I spoke to the lady. I said, oh, well, how long is this train? When did you get to your final destination? She went 9 hours time. But she was jumping off at Newcastle with us, which I guess was probably about halfway. And it was mobbed. And we was only in standard. Train was absolutely mobbed, and so it was a bit of a nightmare, to be honest with you. And you can't work. I mean, I did ask for a table seat, but we got the kind of like airline seats, two seats together. You know, I'm 53, he's 48. We're not the smallest people in the world, and it's just impossible. The air conditioning wasn't working, and in the seats in front of us, there was a 4 and a 4, and there was Mummy and Daddy, and I'm pretty convinced there were 6 kids, all under the age of about 10, and they were fucking noisy, annoying, disruptive, just constantly. They never sat still. They weren't running up and down the aisles, but they never sat still, and they were just constantly eating. There was constant smell of snack food and food stuff. It was just like, it's definitely winding my colleague up more than it was winding me up. But yeah, it was so bad. It was such a shitty 3-hour journey. And I said to my colleague, I said, look, they do this upgrade thing where you can bid for an upgrade to first class for the way back. And you know, we're both busy. We've both got a lot of work on, you know, Shall I give it a go? And he went, yeah, give it a go, give it a spin. So I managed to upgrade us to first class on the way home. And I have to say, it was altogether a much more pleasurable and enjoyable experience. And actually, hats off to a tour. So we were sat on two single seats facing each other, but on the table to our left was a family from the US of A. So I have, of course, because I love the America, I've got to engage them, and they were on holiday. I think he was a gynecologist. What was he? I don't know if he was a fanny doctor, or he was definitely a doctor of some sort. I think he was a head doctor, psychiatrist, and she was a retired teacher. And I tell you what, there are two girls. One was 7, the other one was 10. Oh my God, didn't have a peep. Didn't interrupt their kids when they were, their parents, when they were talking to us. Didn't ask for anything. Just sat there, did their own thing. Polite. I started engaging. I said, are you having a nice holiday? Yes, thank you very much. Sure, it's been awesome. And talked to them about America, talked to them about England. They'd been to your golfers, if you golf, listen to, they'd been to Glen Eagles, which apparently is a thing, a really kind of big thing, and it sounded like a really expensive thing as well. So they went to Glen Eagles in Scotland and played golf up there, and that kind of, I switched off then, but my colleague, who is a bit of a golfer, was really interested to talk to them about their Glen Eagles experience. But yeah, so there was a world away. That was a world away from the journey up. But it cost us £32 extra. But I tell you what, it was worth it. And you got a little snack. Got a little snack on the train. Got a vegan sausage roll with some marmalade jam made in my hometown, York. Marmalade jam? No, it was marmalade. What do they call it? Marmalade ketchup. Something freaking weird. In those little tiny little kind of jars. I mean, how wasteful is that? Those tiny little jars. But anyway, and free booze. But we only had, what, two drinks? They only came around twice. So not as if we got hammered on the train on the way back in first class at the expense of the business. That's not how it went down, my friends. But yeah, no. So yeah, and that's not going to end anytime soon. So I've got another couple of weeks of working, travelling to London, and I was travelling to Northampton, and counting down the days now, just under a month now till 2 weeks in Orlando, where I'll be the tourist annoying Americans. Hey, you can bet on it. So I'm looking forward to that. So it's gonna be hot out there. I'm going at that time where you normally go. I see, I love Orlando. I know some people don't like it, but I'm like a big kid. I love all the rides. I'll be going on rides that I know that me and Gemma might have to do swapsies, where the girls, the twins won't go on them because they're tall enough pretty much now to go on everything. So we've got tickets to Busch Gardens. We've got tickets to SeaWorld, tickets to Universal. So even though I'm not into Harry Potter, I'll go on those rides, all the Harry Potter rides. What's my favourite ride in Universal? I always used to like E.T. They had an E.T. ride. And I saw a video the other day that said it was 31 years old, the ride at Disney. Disney, it's not Disney, is it? Universal, 31 years. And they got a new Minions Land out there, so the girls will like that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love an Orlando holiday. I love the weather. Used to go back in the day, used to stay in hotels. And I learned the very first time I got a villa, it was just so different. The experience was so much better, I think, because when you got a hotel, you just got to go out. And if you've got to go out, you've got to eat American food. And if you've got to eat American food, you've got to use American restaurants. And if you've got to eat American restaurants, everything's deep fried, battered, coated in cream, cheeses, and pretty much any meal you order from a restaurant exceeds the recommended daily calorie intake for an adult human. Probably for a fucking elephant, to be honest with you. So, and the portions are massive. So, yeah, we'll go out for meals, but we've got a little condo thing. So it's got its own kitchen, fridge, freezer, everything we need. So it's like a baby villa. So I'm going to do that. I've never looked back since we went in the villas. That's kind of like the only way to go, I think, for me. Because it makes a much better experience. Although I did do it with Gemma and the twins once. We went for a week in Orlando a couple of years ago. I think it was in May time or June. Oh no, it was earlier than that. It might have been April anyway. And we stayed in a hotel that had a little water park. But yeah, that was challenging. I'm trying to think how old the girls were now. But yeah, now they're seven. Oh, big girls. Finishing school soon. Hey, got a funny story to tell you. So they had open evening the other day, right? And, you know, it's the usual stuff. It's not when you speak to the teachers and you get depressed, where the teachers tell you how, you know, they've got to improve this and they've fallen behind and they haven't done enough homework, which they definitely haven't done enough homework. They haven't done enough reading at home and they definitely haven't done enough reading at home. It was to see what they'd done, you know, what they'd created during the term. And so there was, because there's Millie and Tilly, so my twins are in separate classes. You go into two different classes. So we went into, I think it was Tilly's first. Anyway, or Millie's first. I can't remember. One of them. And we went in and we saw what they'd made. And I was really, really, I mean, I'm going to be biased, right? Because they're my kids, but I was just really, really impressed. It was really, really great to see just how imaginative they both are. So, you know, they'd both made like clay faces, and Millie's for me on the one on the table was just blew everything else away, in my opinion. But I'm biased. Any father would say the same. Yeah, just looked brilliant. And they'd made a fire engine, and then Tilly had made this hat, and another one of them had they did a little exercise on Queen Victoria, and Tilly had done this picture of Queen Victoria, and they'd placed it right next to the actual picture of Queen Victoria. It was the only one that was there, and I was like, I could see why, because it's like, my God, it looks like Queen Victoria. She'd done a really good job. But that's not the funny story. So the funny so that you look through their, you know, exercise books or books that they've got there, where they've written down things like experiments and stuff like that. And there was this one, I think it was Millie's, and God bless you, Millie. And if you listen to this in the future, Millie, your work was just as good, but this just made me laugh. So in this book, they obviously had this this exercise or something where they were tasting different types of food, right? So, and there was a table, and it was like, you know, name. You had to write down what the food item was, then you had to say what colour it was, what the food colour was, describe the texture, you know, describe the taste, describe the smell. Right, you know, all the sensory things and all that kind of stuff. So she's got this thing, and I said, brown bread, you know, describe the color, brown, what was the texture like, soft, what was the taste like, tasted nice, and what did it smell like? I can't remember what she wrote. And the next one, was cheese, and Millie's not a fan of cheese. Cheese, what colour was it? Yellow. What did it taste like? No. What was the texture? Hard. What did it taste like? Yuck. What did it smell like? And she wrote, it smelt like cheese. It just really made me laugh. It's like spluttering. Because that's kids, isn't it? That's just like common, you know, what did it smell like? Well, it smelled like cheese. Of course it did, because it was fucking cheese. So that tickled me a bit. So we've had that. We had the school stuff, and there. So I think they break up. What did I say next Friday? I think so. They're breaking up. So we're going to need to keep them amused, and which I'm sure we can do. I'm sure we can keep them amused for a couple of weeks until we go on holiday. And actually, my son Dan's on holiday now. Actually, he's taking his girlfriend to Los Angeles. And I had to drop him off. And another road trip for the mace, for the daddy taxi. So I dropped him off at Heathrow yesterday morning. And him and his girlfriend, Gabby. So they've gone on a little road trip in LA. And I texted him, and he hasn't texted me back. So he's definitely there. And I said, I hope you got there okay. And he hasn't come back to me, so I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure if that's a good thing. But yeah, so it's been busy. So that's all. Is that my introduction? 38 minutes. So it's been busy. I've been busy. I hope you've been well and enjoying the summer. What else has been going on? What was that? What else was going to muse about today? Biden. I was going to mention Biden. Is anyone else not worried about Biden? I mean, the guy, without getting too political, you know, I am getting a bit nervous that the geezer's just, he's, you know, I don't care about the politics, but he's senile, right? He's got dementia. He's got everything. He's got all the signs of someone, like, with dementia, that just doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't know where they are, what they're supposed to do. And I don't know, I know it's American politics, so it's, well, why should I care? But, you know, the blokes, and if there was a nuclear Armageddon, it's going to start with either Russia or America, with someone pressing the red button. Hopefully Putin's too fucking sick to lift his hand to do it. But Biden, God, I just worry. I mean, I worry that in the toilet of the White House, there's like, you know, like where you got the red cord or something when you're a disabled person, or, you know, you've got assisted needs or whatever, you pull that and the alarm goes off. I'm worried there's a red button next to him and he's going to press the wrong one. I mean, he was at the summit, some NATO summit, and he couldn't even get Zelensky's name right. He called him Vladimir. And like some of the videos I've seen him have just been, oh my God, this guy just isn't, he's not in the same room as everyone else. He's just away with the fairies. And like they're all talking about Trump now and all this kind of stuff. I mean, Trump was bad, wasn't he? And then Biden's even worse, isn't he? I don't know. It does worry me, though. It worries me that this guy just cleared. And I can't help but feel, because I read the American press, I read Fox News, I read CNN, I read the New York Post, and sometimes I read the New York Times. And I'm telling you now that when Trump was in power, they would go for him. You know what I mean? They would go for him. They would go, you know, if he said something wrong, or he said something that might have been a lie, or might have been, you know, not quite economical with the truth. But it feels like Biden's just got a free pass. Like, that, you know, there isn't anything like the same level of scrutiny, yet he's saying things that just gibberish. He's falling asleep, falling over. He doesn't seem to know where he is half the time. And, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter where, like, the White House is tweeting out and they fact-check, you know, and he's being fact-checked, which is right. People should get fact-checked. And a lot of the stuff that he's saying are all about the economy and the jobs he's created, it's just everyone fact-checking. Like, nope, that's not quite right. You know, I've added 7 million new jobs. Well, no, you haven't really. And that was just jobs that were kind of like, that were there before, and then COVID happened, and then blah, blah, blah. It's just been picked up or whatever. But, so America worries me. But they had their 4th of July. So I haven't had I can't remember when did I last do my podcast? I can't remember when my last podcast was. It was obviously some time ago, because we've had 4th of July. And that was 4th of July. It was really funny because I was in the gym and I've got my headphones on. I'm listening to some music but I can see the TV screen, and there's the early morning BBC news. And, you know, they're doing the headlines. I can't remember what the headlines were. And I was thinking, because I didn't have my glasses on, I couldn't see what the text was, and I couldn't hear what was being said. But I'm thinking, oh, it's 4th of July today, isn't it? Oh, yeah. And I was thinking America, and, you know, they're all going to be celebrating their independence, the ungrateful bastards. and you are ungrateful, aren't you? And, like, we're not bitter about it, but let's face it, American listener, you know, we gave you your language, you know, we gave you most of your kind of a lot of your cultural things. You know, we gave you sport, we gave you guns. It's true. Unfortunately, we gave you slaves, I think. I think England had a big part to play in the slave trade, didn't they? And, you know, we gave you a lot of things, and then it ended up with us giving you the day off because you got your Independence Day. So when you have your Independence Day, just remember that. How generous we are as a mother nation to you. That you know, the reason why you get that day off is because of us. Because you beat us. Got your independence. So you got your independence. They're all celebrating. And this news report came in. And it just made me smile because it was footage of the annual Nathan's hot dog eating competition. And I'm watching this thing. And I don't know how many years it's been running. So there's this bloke and he's stuffing, I think it was something like 80 odd, I think he stuffed about 80 hot dogs in his mouth. And I was thinking, oh, that's impressive. I don't know how long it was. And then they had obviously the woman section. So the woman got, I think, 50 odd. So yeah, that's good, good. And then it was like a child section. So they went to there was children eating hot dogs, having hot dog eating competition. I think the winning obese, diabetic, freckled-faced freak that won it, excuse me, sorry, but it's true, 837 hot dogs. And she was it she or he? I can't remember. But she was fat. Or he was fat. So, yeah, and I was like, It's the 4th of July. Just had that kind of like moment. Yes, that's God bless America. You know what kind of what else would I expect to see on the TV, the news, the early morning news on the morning of the 4th of July, that would kind of say USA to me? Would it be, you know, pictures of the Stars and Stripes or, you know, the Grand Canyon or any of the natural wonders of the world, or even a clip of, you know, perhaps, the Declaration of Independence or the monument or whatever. Nope. It was 3 minutes of footage of fat fucking Americans stuffing their faces with hot dogs for the annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Challenge. And that just made me giggle. So what else? I think that's about it, isn't it? About it for this week. I should have come in with more things on my mind, more things to muse about, but it's Friday. I didn't even do it. I'll tell you when it is. Well, you know what date you're listening to this, but I'm doing this just for the record. It's Friday the 14th. No, it's not. Yes, it's Friday the 14th of July, 2023, and I need some lunch. I need a quick one because that's technically my hour up, and I need to get back to work. Got lots to do. So look, whenever you're listening to this, I hope you're well. Hope you have a great, great day, whatever you're doing, or a great weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. I hope you stay healthy. And I was thinking I didn't have a song. I didn't have a song to play us out for this episode. And then Amazon very kindly gave me 3 months Amazon Music. So I don't like paying for music subscriptions. I pay enough with Netflix. What have I got? Netflix, Amazon Prime. I've just cancelled that. What have I cancelled? Paramount Plus. Because I just wasn't getting any value out of it. I was watching Your Honor, and like I got bored with that. I've been watching Yellowstone, and everyone raves about it, and I'm really desperate to try and get into it. I've got a month left. If I can get into Yellowstone before the end of the month, then I'll continue with Paramount Plus. But at the moment, it's been cancelled. It runs out at the end of the month. I guess I don't really have the time to watch TV, being the active businessman, high-powered businessman that I am, stuck in traffic, and then, you know, you got the twins. So, yeah, actually watching, being able to watch 20-odd episodes, hour-long episodes of TV series these days are becoming rarer, as are doing podcasts, I suppose, which I'm going to try and sort out. Because that is definitely my... If I had the choice of watching Yellowstone or speaking to you, my lovely, lovely podcast listeners, then I would, of course, want to record a podcast and speak to you. Not quite sure you'd want to listen to it, given how much drivel I talk, but that's where I am. Where was I? Oh, yes. So Amazon gave me 3 months free. Because I don't want to pay for music, let alone pay for TV. But, you know, TV, you have to. And for me, the Spotify thing's quite expensive as well. But Amazon had given me some music. So I was doing a little browse earlier today. Whilst I was on the treadmill, I'll have you know. Not treadmill, the exercise bike. And I was doing a little browse, and I was trying to think of, you know, again, some music I haven't listened to for a while. Stuff that maybe you don't know, or you've never heard, or you've probably never heard of. And this one came up, just kind of pinged into my head. And it was this great band called Love and Money. And they only did two albums. They did two albums, I think, and then a best of album. But Scottish. Scottish, because I've got, you know, they got a Scottish I from Scotland. That's a terrible Scottish accent, isn't it? I do apologise. But Love and Money, they were a band in the 80s. Mid-80s to late 80s, 85, 86, 87, around that time, I think. Did two albums. First one was quite rocky, which was called Love and Money. How inventive. It was Love and Money with All You Need is Love and Money. And what was the second one? The second one was called... fucking hell. Well, they did more than two albums. They did more than two albums, so I apologise, Love and Money. Cheap. So, Strange Kind of Love. Oh, no, they didn't... Oh, no, the first album was called... My God. All You Need Is Love and Money. And they did... Oh, they did more. I might have to listen to a few more Love and Money. So I'm just rambling about Love and Money. But anyway, I'm going to play you one of my favourite songs that they did. Because they were quite rocky when they first came out. And then they kind of did... they did like an album which was kind of like more kind of... I don't know. I'm trying to think of what it... I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. It's not rock, but I don't know. Fuck it. Let's find it. It's called... And I've fucking lost it now. How fucking annoying is that? It's called River of People. This is Love and Money. Sorry, it's been terrible again. If you're a new listener, I apologise. If you're an existing listener, look, you know what to expect by now, right? It's the way it is. That's why you keep coming back. But this is Love and Money, River of People. See you next time. Bye.
They say ignorance is bliss. I punish myself. I've done no wrong. Believe this world will take my hand. And it won't be long for the stars fall down. Then I fall in love. All I wanna do is go where forever I'll be. At the bottom of my wishing well, there's an ocean I'll swim. The river of people.
was drunk, the old ladies are scared to keep their money in the underwear. You can hear them say between the plates of their teeth, the neighborhood isn't what it used to be. I'm waking every other night by the lovebirds next door. He's a good for nothing drunk, she's a good for nothing whore. And the rain comes down like Solomon's tears. It's a city I fear. It's a city I fear. Funny thing is, people don't seem to care. Who in the right mind would ever live here? Who in the right mind? A field of tires was caught up in a blaze. Smoke stayed in the sky for 3 days. Oh, the air was thick and it was hard to breathe. Prophets of doom were easier to believe. And the summer has a dog's breath and the winter is brutal. But you know whatever happens, it's business as usual. And the rain comes down like Solomon's tears. It's a city I've been. It's a city I've been. Funny thing is, people don't seem to care. Who on the right mind would ever live here? Who on the right mind?
Listening, I apologise that a bonus one. So I can't even get my endings right. But I got lost in the music. Then I started doing some emails, and I just had the music on in my head. And so you got an extra Love and Money, Love and Money record track, whatever you want to call it. I need to go then, because I'm just talking crap. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.